forgives. He requires some medical treatment. So he is told that there is a certain doctor in a certain town who is very good. When he finds out, some people will give good reports, some people will give bad reports. Then he thinks he got a jadu problem. He'll find out about the amil. Some people will give good reports, some people will give bad reports. Then he finds out, now in today's times you got people doing all different funny things. Some people are tapping into your spiritual side and then they're going into your history and they are telling you now about this, and they say they're unblocking certain blocks that you have made in your life, that's why the happiness is not reaching you and all those type of things. So they too are doing that. So all these different things that we hear about, some of it is proven to a certain degree. Sometimes it helps certain people, sometimes it doesn't help certain people. The same medication is given to 3 patients with the same problem. To somebody, it caused some detriment in his body. To somebody, it's very, very beneficial. He is like a new person by the next day. To somebody, he comes half right, he's still half sick. So different things have different effects on different people. But if you take Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tariqah that he brought, at a time when, if you have to read up, the time of, it is called Ayyam-e Jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance. If you have to read up, what was taking place in those days? Imagine a person, he would go to sit with his friends and he's gambling. He's losing money. He loses big amounts, large amounts of money. Now he's got nothing left to gamble. He actually gambles his wife away. He'll actually gamble his wife away. He will bet on his wife. He will gamble his wife away. What type of a heart a person must have? That the person comes to his wife, his daughter is a few years of age, and he says to her that, you know what, dress her up, I want to take her to meet the family. This mother, when she gave birth initially to that daughter, she knew the practice amongst the Arabs that they would take that daughter. It was regarded as like a blemish on the family if the first child has to be a daughter. They would take the daughter and bury her alive. So this mother, what she did, she hid the child. She hid the child, and slowly she started allowing for the child to come home under the pretense that this child is not our child, somebody else's child. And this child used to come and play with the father. So a taluk began developing between the father and this daughter. But little did he realize it is his own daughter. So when the mother seen that now he has got a lot of muhabbat for this child, then she told him that this is your daughter. This is your child. So this father now, he is torn between two emotions. That on the one side, this is his daughter, he has built, developed a bond with her. On the other side, family custom, this is considered to be like a disgrace, like a blemish. So one day he comes home and he tells his wife, he says, no, dress her up and I want to take her to meet the family members. So the mother, imagine how happy she must have been, that this is the day I've been waiting for. This father takes his daughter, who is all dressed up now. The mother, you know, beautified her, dressed up in her best outfit, tied her hair nicely, everything, made her look beautiful. and this father is holding the hand of the daughter, and the daughter is so excited that the father is taking her out. And the father walks with her, takes her out, right out of the town. She's asking now, after that she's asking the father, no, where are we going? The father said, no, don't worry. And they go out of the town. Then the father starts digging. Starts digging a hole. This child is there. She is still wiping the dust of her father. What does she know what is lying ahead? And he digs a hole, deep hole. Some other family members of his, they assist him also. And then they take her and throw her into that hole. She is pleading and crying. She doesn't understand what the father is doing. And the father takes her and throws her into that hole. And then they began throwing this sand on top of her. They buried that child alive. One person, he tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't know how many daughters he buried alive like that. After that he became Muslim. But when he was in Jahiliyyah, so many daughters he buried alive like that. So what type of zulmat, what type of darkness they were in? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with a tariqah. He came with a way that those very same people who were burying daughters alive, who were gambling their wives away, who would kill at the drop of a hat, those very same people are lying now on the battlefield, dying of thirst. The water comes to them, they hear a moan, they say, no, go give that person. So much of khair khai, so much of brotherhood, so much of feeling, so much of kindness. We never witnessed that type of kindness and feeling, that kind of brotherhood in history. It's never been witnessed. The brotherhood that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala had. And they were the very same people who not long ago, just a few years back, they would bury their own daughter alive, forget anything else, bury their own daughters alive. And now those very same people, they are prepared to die if somebody else can be saved. Those sahab, that Ansari family, nothing in the house. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, who will host this guest of mine? That sahabi says, I will host him. Takes him home. The wife says, but there's nothing here. There's just little bit to feed the children. We were supposed to go hungry. He says, well, now just lull them off to sleep. Serve that little bit of food. And when we sit down to eat, switch the lamp off. Make like the paraffin oil got finished in the lamp. And I will pretend like I'm eating. That person won't know that I got no food in front of me, because pitch black, dark. And he will eat. So one person will be able to eat that food and he will be satisfied. So that type of feeling. Imagine when the Muhajirin come to Madina Sharif, a Sahabi, he takes his, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes that brotherhood. The Sahabi, he takes his brother now, the Ansari takes his Muhajir brother. He goes home, he says to him, look, this is my house. Half is yours, you choose which half you want. This is my clothing, half belongs to you, you choose which garments you want. This is my business, half is yours, you say which half you want. These are my wives. Tell me which one I must divorce. I will divorce her, you can marry her. That type of feeling they had for one another thereafter. And prior to that, they were prepared to kill. Over little trivial, small things, they were prepared to kill. So it is a tried, proven, tested. And when we as mu'mineen, we as Muslims, when we had those values, that value system of Islam, our old people, maybe they never had too much of knowledge. Maybe every masjid never had Quran Sharif Taraweeh. They were reading Alam Tara and carrying on. They were wearing their safari suits and carrying on. They never had much knowledge. But they had a value system of Islam. They had an Islamic value system. Their values were very high. They never had too much of knowledge. Today there's an explosion of knowledge. But we are bankrupt when it comes to values. That respect, that adab, nothing. We don't have it. In fact, if we travel and we go into the locations and meet with the local people and see how they are living in the locations, they got a better value system than us. They got more adab than us. We have lost those things. We have thrown it away. When the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, from what they were, but when they adopted that value system, then see what they became. What they became. And today when we are discarding that value system, then where are we going? So it is a tried, a proven and a tested tariqah. Any community, any nation that adopts that value system, they are on their road to success in this very world. Even if a kafir adopts, maybe he won't bring iman, but if he adopts the value systems of Islam, it will benefit him in this dunya. Go to the Jewish business houses and ask them their principles, their business principles, where do they get it from? They have translated books of ours which we haven't translated as yet. They have translated it. Hidayah, one of the main books of fiqh, go and see who translated it and where it's sitting. You go to Harvard, you will find more translations of Hidayah there than all the Darul Ulooms put together. They are studying it. All the promises that games makes, this games chain store, or they say the games promise, this promise, that promise, that promise. Look it up in the books of buyu, the books of business. Islam, the principles of Islamic business, those things are there. These people have adopted it. They have adopted it and they are flourishing in business. So even if a kafir adopts, as I heard from my Shaykh Al-Muspiraisallahu Barakatum, he mentioned this, that even if a kafir has to adopt the value system of Islam, the principles of Islam, although he doesn't have iman, it will benefit him. This is the beauty in this tariqah. Unfortunately, we are just allowing it to slip by. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left an instruction. He said, hold on to it like how you hold on to something with your canines. That's how you must hold on to it. But today, we're just letting it go. We're just letting it go. We're not interested in implementing it. We are getting too sucked into this dunyavi life. Too sucked into it. It's the only thing that occupies our mind. My dunya. My dunya is occupying my mind. We're not contemplating over the akhirat. We're not doing soul searching. We're not checking our direction. We make a little bit of ibadat here and there. But our value systems are not changing. And we are just caught up. We are just caught up like a rat chasing its tail. That's all. We're not going to catch it. We just carry on going around. So in this month of Ramadan Sharif, it is really time for us to do some real contemplation and make some, you know, some promises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, set some goals for ourselves. Adopt the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of our life. Every aspect of our life, we must bring in the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, a person can take a million qasams and he doesn't have to be afraid that he would have to pay kafara for even one of them. if he takes a million qasams and he says, if you adopt the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will be a successful person. He can say so with full confidence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant me first the tawfiq, grant you tawfiq, and grant the entire ummah tawfiq. You know, sometimes we lose focus, we lose track, and we think, when we look at what we doing to our homes, we look at what we doing in our lives, and we think to ourselves, no, I'm not extravagant, man. I'm not extravagant. I got no muhabbat for dunya, because so and so got even bigger, and so is doing even more. So if, for example, it's our daughter's wedding, and we book a hall, and we, you know, make things a little bit smart, but we feel, no, I didn't do anything heavy, I didn't do anything extravagant, I just booked a hall, I didn't do anything extravagant, because we're looking at that person who booked the whole showgrounds. The person who booked the whole showgrounds, now we're looking at him. So we feel we didn't do too much. But that's not the yardstick that we must use. We must always look down. We must look down. And then we look at how extravagant a life we are leading. Now, there's so many things that are coming to the mind right now. But our time is up. Some other time, inshallah, we'll discuss that if Allah Pak gives us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.